Saving on your education should be a right, not a competition. At University of Phoenix, you'll get the best scholarship or savings you qualify for. Simple as that. Explore scholarship options at University of Phoenix.
You know, the partnership between United Airlines
and Air New Zealand
is so seamless. We're finishing
each other's sentences. But
what does that mean for you? Oh, just all the good stuff.
Like earning miles on every mile you fly.
And not having to check your bags more than once.
And that's not to mention
our lounges.
And also our lounges.
Which is double the lounging.
Oh, did we mention how much easier it is
when you can book all your flights together?
Hey, that's what I was going to say.
United
and Air New Zealand.
Two airlines.
One way to fly.
The Red River Shootout, Don Mateer. Let's say he's going to play, because that's the way it's looking right now. Who do you like?
All right, you think I'm going to pick with my heart, but that's not who I am. I am going to pick with my mind.
What is up, everybody? It is Wednesday on Crane & Company, and you know what that means. We're making our picks. And goodness gracious, the slate is plentiful. We got a great guest picker, who I'm going to get to in 1 second. Hold the clap, Blaine. Not the first time that's been said to you. No. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback to my left. Former Western State Colorado wide receiver Blaine Crane to my right. The black hair is coming back. It's coming back.
We're all happy about it. I pray.
It's coming back. But our guest picker today, you can find him on the Will Cain Show.
Come on.
He's been everywhere. You used to see him on First Take.
Come on.
All right. Will Cain Country. Just open your eyes and look outside. You're probably going to see him. Our buddy, Will Cain.
Yes, sir.
Will, what's up, man?
Country music connoisseur, too, by the way.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah. I didn't know that either. All right. So, Will, we got 6 big games to pick. To be honest with you, we could have done 10 with the slate we have this weekend. But first, I don't know if you saw this. The New York Times tweeted out this article from The Athletic. But who wrote it, David?
Eric Gay, maybe?
Good job. Will,
now that I'm on the spot, let me just check.
Yeah. I want to read to you, because it's basically saying...
On the post, it says, The Athletic, Eric Gay / Associated Press.
Okay, yeah. So basically, it is saying that many people are having a bad year in college football, but Arch Manning is having one of the worst. He's gone from a preseason Heisman Trophy favorite to what they are saying, he's already a flop, which... We can agree that Arch Manning hasn't been amazing, but it's not just Arch Manning. The offensive line, you look at the ability to run the ball has struggled. Against Florida, he was running for his life back there. But to come out and already say that he's a flop in his first year as the starter with the schedule that they've played and that they're going to play, that's a bridge too far. My thing is, why is the New York Times talking about sports? Why is the New York Times talking about anything, Will?
Life for me and everyone around me as a sports fan is a roller coaster. And so if I'm being honest with you, if you were with me on Saturday as we were losing to Florida and Arch once again was putting in a very underwhelming performance, you might have heard me sounding a bit like the New York Times. But this is how I do it. Yeah. In the middle of a Cowboy game or the middle of a Texas game, I'm highly emotional and reactive and snap opinions. When I calm down and then I think about it a little longer, I let myself revert to optimism. And I hope somewhere in between is realism. So my point is, I'm really, really concerned about Arch. I'm really concerned about the throws that I'm seeing, that I'm not seeing, the platform, the feet, the arm slot, the velocity of every throw. I just sit there and go, I don't know. And I think the biggest political debate in the country isn't the government shutdown, but what does Steve Sarkisian do with a 5-star famous name quarterback that right now is holding back the rest of the team? But you make a great point, Jake. The rest of the team isn't that great. Offensive line is terrible. So Urban Meyer was on Will Cain Country, and I saw an article this morning as well. I believe this one was at ESPN. Give him some time. Joe Burrow took a long time. Urban Meyer pointed out that these guys don't just develop overnight. And so don't sell all your stock on Arch. And I'm not going to. I'm going to revert to optimism. You know, I'm going to make sure that this weekend I feel good about this matchup, which we'll get to in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to buy every line right now from New York Times, which, by the way, I subscribe to The Athletic. I think it's really good. And it's owned by the New York Times.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't, but look, it's America. You can do what you want to do. But my point is, we live in a world now where I don't think ball knowers know this, and it's kind of going back to what Urban is saying, new quarterbacks are supposed to struggle. Just like most new people in anything, it's that struggle that ends up molding you. Now, we do live in a time where some young quarterbacks have come in and looked amazing, but that's the anomaly. And we see the same thing in the NFL. They're like, oh, well, this new quarterback, he's got to come in. He's going to be the MVP. Mm-hmm. Dog, that's typically not how it works in this sport.
Well, I do find it humorous that the New York Times tweeted the phrase synonymous with failure, unironically. I did get a good laugh out of that. But yeah, 100%. If this kid's name was Arch Mann and you didn't have the family name attached with it, we'd be saying, man, he's underperforming slightly for a Texas quarterback who's taking over for Quinn Ewers, who led this program to back-to-back college football playoffs. It was the national media who propped him up as the next Tim Tebow. To be honest, it's their fault. It's not our fault. I saw a kid last year who struggled to deliver the football effectively downfield consistently, and I didn't think in one offseason that he was going to grow into what Joe Burrow was in 2019. It's looking a lot more like Will Cain said, Joe Burrow in 2018. He does have the genetics. He can make every throw in the book, guys. Comebacks to the field, whole shots to the boundary. He can use his legs. He has all the potential to turn into Joe Burrow in 2019, but the onus is on him to do that because he's not playing at that level yet.
Well, Blaine, I'll give you another LSU quarterback that transferred into LSU like Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels. Go watch the difference between Jaden Daniels at Arizona State and then watch him as an older player at LSU. It takes a little bit of time, typically, for the light to come on. Even SEC media days, Arch was like, dog, I've played two games.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I don't know if he's going to turn into Joe Burrow or Jaden Daniels. I don't think that's
going to happen. Well,
but
maybe
I will
more
say
Burrow
this,
than Daniels.
Like, I hyped up Arch a lot, but it wasn't just Arch as a player. It was supposed to be everything that surrounded him, right? That's why I believed in Texas and Arch so much. One thing I can usually trust when it comes to come to a Steve Sarkisian coach team is they can turn around and hand the damn ball off. Okay. And they can run at a consistent clip. And all the talent that you brought back on defense, Colin Simmons, Anthony Hill Jr., Taft, you have it on all three levels. So it was everything else that I trusted around Arch that would have pushed him up that platform. And those other things aren't coming true. Trust me, if you'd have told me we're going into week 7 right now and Arch Manning is the leading rusher for Texas football, I would have told you that you're insane. But that's what we're seeing right now. So Arch hasn't lived up to the bill, but no one else around him has either.
Yeah, well, and we're going to get to the game, but if Arch goes and balls versus Oklahoma, all shall be forgiven if it works out. That's just the world of college football. But let's start off with another banger. At 11 a.m. in Como, Missouri, the Alabama Crimson Tide, well, I'll let you start this one off, is going to play Missouri. This Missouri team, you want to talk about kind of, I wouldn't say coming out of nowhere, but Bo Perbula has been excellent. Looking like the best quarterback that was on Penn State's roster the past couple years, especially if you ask Penn State fans right now with the way Aller's playing. But do you think Bama can keep it up, they can keep playing discipline, and go on the road in the early game and get a huge win for them to continue to give them cushion down the stretch?
I do. I think Alabama, it's hard to say that Alabama has been a surprise, but when we went into this season, everything we thought has turned out not to be true. We thought it was Texas. We thought it was Clemson. We thought it was Georgia. And I don't think enough attention got focused on Alabama, and probably that's because we were all doubting Kalen DeBoer. But they've looked really good. They've looked really good to start this season. You got to give Kalen DeBoer credit. And we know it's a loaded up with talent roster. We know that. So if Kalen DeBoer is putting a system together that works, and it looks like that with Ty Simpson, I think Alabama keeps it rolling against Missouri.
Yeah, and Blaine, this line's actually gone down.
Line has gone down. It actually started off at -5.5 Alabama, and right now it is sitting at -2.5 Alabama, with the over-under sitting at 51.5. And right now the money is laying Alabama -2.5, but that spread got bet down quick, 3 points in one day.
Tony, what do you think?
Well, do you guys realize that the fewest yards that Missouri has rushed for this season in a game is 219?
Yeah.
Through five games so far, 268, 285, 427, 261, and 219 for an average of 292 yards. We talk about Ahmad Hardy all the time, how he may be the hardest running back in the country to bring down. And this is going up against an Alabama team that I think already struggles to run fit, particularly from the secondary. You saw it in the first half against Vanderbilt, not the second half. You saw it when Georgia rushed for 220 yards against them, but they still won that football game. This is going to be the toughest test for Missouri. I actually like Alabama going on the road to keep this win streak going. I got 31-27 right now.
Blaine, what do you got?
Well, this is going to be a close one. At this point, it's so hard for me to bet against Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. I think he's playing the best in the country at the quarterback position. And if his last name is Manning, they'd have already gave him the Heisman. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be over with. But two things I'm kind of looking at right now is the edge players for Alabama, right? Can Edrick Hill, right? Can LT Overton be the difference? Because at the end of the day, Missouri wants to come out and do what? They want to run outside zone.
For sure.
And Ahmad Hardy is probably the best back in the nation. I think this is going to be a close game, obviously, but what pushes me over the edge is the way Ty Simpson's playing right now. Give me Alabama 31, Missouri 27.
So y'all got the exact same score.
There you go.
So everybody's picking Bama. All right, look, to me, I'm going to be honest. This is the hardest game to pick, I think, out of all of them because of how talented Missouri is around Bo Prabula, who's shown the things that he can do from the pocket. But there's one thing that's just standing out to me, and I know they cut the water off against Kansas, but Kansas was able to get up and down early against Missouri, and this Alabama offense is so hot right now. But I'm going to save the graphic.
Oh, wow.
Mm. I'm going to save the graphic.
Oh, wow.
I think Missouri is pissed off about having to play this game at 11 a.m. It's the biggest game they've played in a while, right? Then they got to go next week and go play Auburn on the road at 6:30 at night. Something about Bo Prabula is going to make me pick Missouri in this game. I actually think Alabama may lead throughout most of this game, but Missouri finds a way with Hardy, with Robinson. And it's not just outside zone. It's the boots off of it. It's the way they utilize the tight end off of it and build everything around it. I think Missouri wins this game. Give me 30-27 Missouri.
Wow. Game-winning
44-yard field goal from the right half.
There we
Sounds like take the over.
Yeah, yeah. What's it at? What's the
it's
over?
It's at 51.5.
Okay, so the over would hit. All right. We talked about Vandy last week. Game day went to a Vandy game on the road, which is shocking if you've kept up with college football for a while. But another team that's kind of come out of nowhere with Cignetti is Indiana, who destroyed Illinois a couple weeks back. They're going to play an Oregon team that Dan Lanning, I mean, there hasn't been, you know, young dudes that have been this on fire since the Backstreet Boys came out with what they have with Hill, DeCorian Moore, and Dante Moore. David, I want to start with you being a former Big Ten player. Who do you like in this Indiana-Oregon game? Blaine, what is the line in it?
Right now, the line, this game opened at -7.5 Oregon and is staying at -7.5 Oregon with the over of 55.5. Money line, Indiana going off at +230.
Two coaches with a lot of confidence, man, a lot of swagger. Two quarterbacks who are playing almost identical football, especially when you look at the stats. And Mendoza and Dante Moore, both, what, top five right now in the Heisman Trophy voting. I really can't wait for this matchup. And the game that really keeps coming into my mind for Indiana, obviously, is the 63-10 win over Illinois. To drum a really good team like that was shocking. And then Oregon being able to go on the road and beat Penn State in front of 110,000 in a whiteout. Both have an impressive resume. I'm going to go with the upset pick.
You're going Indiana.
Give me Indiana right now. I got 38-35. Lot of points, lot of offense. I think both teams are going to look great, put up points. I'm going to go with the upset.
The Bob Knight special. Will, what say you? Indiana at Oregon.
I'm not just riding David's coattails. I think there's something about Cignetti and Indiana that the way they beat Illinois and that they have this hard-nosed attitude. They have that Big Ten attitude, still new for Oregon, and they've performed well, as you point out, against Penn State. They haven't had a rude awakening in the Big Ten. But I certainly was somebody that doubted Indiana last year, probably because of the brand. I just like, oh, come on, it's Indiana. Sooner or later, you know, it all comes apart for the Hoosiers. But I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to do the opposite. And, you know, I think that they could go – and I'll take the 5.5. It's 5.5, right, Blaine? And I'm going to take
half. Yeah,
7.5.
7.5.
Even better.
Touchdown.
Oh, 7.5. Even better. I like Indiana.
All right. I'll go for
it. I thought I'd be the only one.
No, there we go. Listen, I think this Indiana team is better than the one from last year. Mm. And I don't know how close it is, to be honest with you. And it's not just because of Fernando Mendoza, but I like the way they just play the game. It's fundamental. It's efficient. They don't try to be super sexy. They dance with the moves they got. And I think that's one of the best things you can say about Cignetti is he sticks to his guns. But Dan Lanning, fellas, there's just something about this dude gets me fired up just watching him. Sitting in the tunnel before they run out against Penn State, turns around his team and says, we are about to kick their ass. There's just something about a young motivational coach that does a good job structurally too. And that defensive front seven, I doubted him against Penn State. I did, and I was 100% wrong. I'm not doubting these guys again. I think they can win a rock fight. I think they can win a track meet. Give me Oregon at home. I don't know if they'll cover the 7.5 because that's how good I think Indiana is. But give me Oregon. Let's go 27-20 Oregon. Mm. I think it's a little bit more low scoring than what some people think it's going to be.
Okay,
Blaine, you look like you grew up in Portland.
Yeah, I know, right? So, yeah, I'm definitely picking Oregon. Thank you for laughing at that, Will. I'm taking Oregon. Look, I've been high on Oregon this entire year. I think what Kirk Cignetti and Indiana are doing is phenomenal. Mendoza, trust me, from a guy who's an Auburn fan, I watched what he did at Cal last year, and he's been the truth.
Yeah.
This isn't a surprise to me. But I think what Oregon does, they spread you out. They make you play individual football, and I think team speed kills at the end of the day. I think Oregon's a faster team mm-hmm. than Indiana. I don't think Indiana's seen speed like this. I think Oregon can hold up in the front seven. Give me Oregon 34, Indiana 24.
Summer's packed schedule is done. Now it's about those solid fall weekends at home, catching games on the couch and actually getting some decent sleep. You've got your routines down, your space dialed in, but here's what makes the difference. Upgrading to Boll & Branch's bed bundles, premium sheets, and the right pillows, and blankets that actually work. Built for those cold nights when you need real comfort, especially after watching your team blow a lead in the fourth quarter. Because sometimes the best investment is what helps you recharge. There's bundle options for every kind of refresh, from new sheets and blankets to a complete transformation. Bundles for every kind of sleeper, with curated bedding for your coolest, coziest, or softest night's sleep, made with the highest quality 100% organic cotton. My wife loves it ever since we got it. I mean, it's, again, we break the rules. Our 8-month-old sleeps in bed with us, and she loves it too, even though she can't talk.
Waffle blanket.
The waffle blanket too. It also comes with a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can rest easy knowing you're covered. So make upgrading your bed easier than ever with curated bundles for a sanctuary of comfort. And for a limited time, get 20% off bed bundles at bollandbranch.com/booster. That's BOLLAND branch.com/booster to save up to 20%. Exclusions apply.
Send Annie a voice note.
Hey, sis. So, okay, you know that cozy hoodie you always steal from Charlie after your workouts? Well, I just went to Lululemon and saw they have the same one for women now. I think it's called Steady State. Just throwing the idea out there, since you haven't added your wish list in the group chat yet. Plus, I know how much you love matching Charlie. Anyway, talk later. I'll see you at Run Club.
Shop Women's Steady State now at lululemon.com.
God, I cannot wait for this slate. All right, y'all want to pick this Georgia-Auburn game? You just want to skip it.
No, I don't think we should skip it. I don't think
you don't want to pick it. You want to pick it? All right, Blaine, we'll start with you.
Georgia.
Georgia's going to Auburn. It's a night game in Jordan-Hare. Oh, you got Will's got the Auburn
Look
helmet
at that.
In
there. Yeah, Will.
I've got four helmets on my desk. I thought I'd break it out. I knew you'd bring up Auburn.
It's beautiful. 100%. But Blaine.
Yeah.
Come on, talk me into it.
Talk you into it?
Talk me in. How are they going to do it?
Okay, I'll tell you this. All right. Jordan-Hare, at any time past 5 o'clock, it's the most spooky place you can play in. It's a legitimate Bermuda Triangle. That's why this spread is +3.5. You can't give me logical reasons to tell me why the spread is only Georgia -3.5. The only way it comes to my mind is playing at Jordan-Hare. Yeah. And just maybe this week during practice, he was just like, you know what? We're going to run the ball. We are going to run to set up the pass.
God, that'd be so
hot.
And
if you can do that, and we've seen this Georgia team with this front seven, not the same Georgia defense we're usually seeing year in and year out. I think Auburn, if they can establish a ground game with those weapons on the outside, they'll have a chance in this game. But I'm sorry, I don't believe they're going to do that. I think Jackson Arnold's a dud at quarterback. I think you have two mediocre backs, two great receivers. Your offensive line's experienced but average. Your defense is playing great until they probably play Georgia, right? So I'm taking Georgia in this game 27-10.
Mm. Oh, God, that happens. Hughes probably cooked. No, we'll get to that. Will, Georgia at Auburn, what say you?
The two most popular schools in Dallas, Texas, outside the state. Everybody's applying to Georgia and Auburn in Texas. I like Georgia. I think Georgia is not the absolute lockdown. Of course, you take Georgia that they have been in past years. Mm-hmm. But I just think that all across the board, there's just more trust in everything. There's more trust in Gunnar Stockton than Jackson Arnold. There's just more trust in every position group. I think even at Jordan-Hare, and everybody says, no offense, Blaine, I only laughed when you talked about Jordan-Hare because I feel like I just got done hearing about how difficult the swamp was all weekend long. And now every time, every season, we're going to hear about Death Valley. And so everybody claims from College Station to the swamp and everything in between that they've got the toughest place to play. But even though it might be difficult to go to Auburn, I'm going to take Georgia.
Mm. Not a bad pick. David Hurt, you're married to an Alabama woman like me. What do you think?
I did marry into this. Let's not forget, this is the Deep South's oldest rivalry.
It is.
It doesn't matter what the records are. It doesn't matter who the coaches are. This game always matters. This is one you always pencil on the schedule. One of the coolest rivalries in the sport. And I picked the Auburn upset preseason. You remember that?
Yeah.
I went out on a limb on our preseason. I got the check mark right there. I need to tweak a couple
of things. Yeah, there it is. That's
if Auburn, if they were playing just a little bit more competent on offense, or if Georgia were undefeated and, you know, they didn't already have their backs against the wall with the Alabama loss, maybe I could talk myself into it. I cannot right now. I'm going to take Georgia 31-13.
David, like you, I mean, I got it right here. I had Auburn starting off 3-2 and beating Georgia. Actually winning three in a row after this and then losing at Vandy, which would be the most Auburn thing that ever happened. And look, do I think Auburn is capable of beating Georgia? Because I don't think this Georgia team on defense is nearly as elite as what they have been. Yes. The only problem is Auburn's offense is hot dog water. It's been awful. And if it was just one problem, just one, that you had to fix, okay, we can flex seal this bad boy and figure it out. But we don't have enough flex seal to stop the holes in this water tank, even if they got that little fat guy with black hair that gets in the boat and shows you too.
Oh, no, not him.
Yeah. We're doing clap cadence on the road in College Station, and then you tell me the left tackle's deaf? Did we check Jackson Arnold's eyes as well? That's what we're saying, he's deaf? It was a bad plan to begin with. I don't want to save the graphic because I hope we're all wrong. I would love for Auburn to win, but I don't get paid to say what I hope happens. We don't get paid to say what we want to happen. We get paid to say what we think happens. And I just don't know if Auburn's offense can go from trying to learn simple addition to doing trigonometry in 2 weeks. That's what I worry about. I'm going to go with Georgia in this game. I know it's a 3.5-point spread. I know it hurts. Right,
Auburn's coming off the bye week, man.
It's going to be 24-21 Georgia.
Okay.
24-21 okay. So Georgia.
That'll keep you around.
Huh? It may. Well, somebody's got to get fired in that building, and it ain't going to be on the defense. So I'm going to go. We're all going with Georgia there, which is understandable. All right, let's move on here if I can get back to my beautiful book of secrets and truths. David, your alma mater.
Yeah.
Michigan going out to USC. I wonder how well y'all are going to travel. Probably pretty good. Sharon Moore's talking about the Coliseum doesn't bother them. They don't want to take selfies, this, that, or the other. I don't know why you'd say any of that stuff, but he's saying it. David, how about we start? You know what? Let's end with David. Okay. Will, let's start with you. Michigan at USC. Same old Lincoln
on,
Riley
Will.
Looks like to me, brother.
I know. On, the Will. Minute I bought in, the minute I thought, okay, he finally turned it around. No, with USC. By the way, that was a story that entire last 2 weeks from Florida State to USC, every team we thought had turned the corner actually looks like they might not have actually turned the corner. That being said, David, I'm happy for you to tell me that I'm wrong on this, but I just can't trust your freshman quarterback. I just can't trust your offense at Michigan. And I'm going to take USC. And you have to travel to the hardest place to play in Southern California. Can they at least play that? I'm going to take USC.
I don't know. UCLA looked pretty good. Blaine, what do you got?
Well, right now, this game opened at -1.5 USC, and it's sitting at -2.5 USC.
Really?
Michigan is a dog in this game. They're going off at +110 with the over-under at 57.5. I like the over in this game, and I also like Michigan in this football game. A couple of things here. One, USC on defense, they are really good at giving up the big play. Really good at it. And trust me, with Justice Haynes in this running game, Michigan is going to hit some big plays, especially Bryce Underwood in the running game. I do trust Michigan's offensive line more than I trust a Lincoln Riley coach defensive line. It's not even close. Look, Maiva is a great quarterback, 11 touchdowns, one interceptions. He's done well against pressure. I don't know how much Michigan's going to pressure in this football game. I feel like they could probably get home with four. I think it's going to be close and high scoring. Give me 34-31, Michigan.
I like Michigan in this spot. Because I believe in following the science, David. And I believe that big humans pushing around other somewhat big humans, because Michigan is huge on the offensive line. USC, I think, gets buried at the linebacker position too much in the run. You watch the amount that they pressure. Bryce Underwood is growing in front of our eyes, right? I don't think he's had to really win them games, truly. This is one, though, I think Justice Haynes goes for 200. I do think USC will score, though. Because you talk about the pressure rate from Michigan, Wink likes to bring it, and if they don't get home, USC's got Lemon's a phenomenal player that can really, really hurt you down the field. I like Michigan. I like it to be high scoring, Blaine. Give me Michigan 38-31. I think Michigan scores a defensive touchdown in this game, and that's the difference. Give me Michigan by a touchdown.
Well, Will said he can't trust Michigan's freshman quarterback. I hate to break it to everyone, but he's actually the one I trust the most right now. I trust Bryce more than some other elements of the team
right
now.
The Wonder Boy.
I was excited to see where this line opened. I thought it'd be an even pick 'em. So when USC opened as the favorite early in the week, I wasn't that surprised, and I thought, man, you know, I actually might take USC in this game with what they're able to do offensively. But the more that I think about it, the way that Michigan was able to rush rush against Wisconsin's defense, which they don't do a lot of things great, but stopping the run is one thing that they have done well. Michigan still rushed for 170. You look at this game last year, I know it was in the Big House. Michigan still rushed for 290. That was the Kalel Mullins game. Justice Haynes is every bit the back that he is. I think he's going to show out in this one. I think Bryce has a big day with his arm and with his legs. And I think Wink Martindale dials up some pressures, or they get home with the front four to really put Jaden Maiava in a blender for most of this game. Not that they're not going to score, not that he's not going to make some incredible plays. They got a couple wide receivers.
Oh, yeah.
They're just absolutely
insane. They stay with them.
I like the high scoring nature of this game, too, but I'm going to take the good guys, the Michigan Wolverines 30-26.
The good guys, huh?
All right, by myself, where I like it.
Yeah, look, that's no, trust me, this will come back to bite us in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
This is typically how it works.
That's how you know Southern.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, two more, and we're going to get to the Red River Shootout. But first, the team that just beat your team, Will, is now going to play another Texas team, but this time they're on the road. They're going to College Station, which some say is the toughest place to play in the country. Those some people being Texas A&M fans. And look, it is a tough place to play. Florida at A&M. Blaine, is the line still 7.5?
Right now, the line opened at -8.5 Texas A&M and is sitting at +7.5 right now for Florida with the over-under at -46. Florida money line going off at +225 in this game.
Will Billy Napier just crawling back once again? You know, you always say that Haynes King is like the main character from Hacksaw Ridge. Mm-hmm. Billy Napier is starting to get that moniker, too. He just keeps going up. Didn't even have a gun. Like, he waits till halfway through the season to get one. Will, what do you think? Florida at A&M. A&M looked good in the second half offensively against Mississippi State, but this ain't Mississippi State.
Are we going money line or are we going with the points? Because that's a big line, 7.5 to Florida.
Yeah.
First of all, money line, I like A&M. I like A&M over Florida. Florida's got a real defense. That defense is good. Marcel Reed, though, is dynamic. So is Arch, meaning you could use your legs, but Arch is just still inaccurate as a thrower. I also think Florida, as much as DJ Lagway is not what we thought he would be, he's got some weapons. Some of those receivers are absolute studs that he's got. And when you're thrown to a wide open guy, that's pretty strong. The long and short of it is, I like A&M to win the game. I don't know that I like them more than 7.5.
Yeah.
I don't think Florida's going into College Station and winning that game. I don't think they're as good as they looked against Texas. And I think A&M is legit. They're good. So give me A&M for the win, but give me Florida for the cover.
Blaine, what do you think? Florida at A&M? I like the under. What's the total?
The total right now is 46.5.
God, I like
open
the under.
Opened at 47.5. I'm taking the Florida Gators.
Really?
In this football game. And a couple of reasons why. One, I don't think Jaden Bogg is talked about enough as one of the best backs in the country.
Yeah, well, when they give him the ball.
I don't think I've seen all year the first tackler against Jaden Ball get him to the ground, mm-hmm. right? And when I look at Texas A&M, although they have improved, especially on the defensive side, I just think Florida is going to be able to control this game up front on the both sides of the line of scrimmage on offense and defense. I think a run game for DJ Lagway is only going to help him out. With these receivers, you have Vernon Brown III, you have Dallas, who's an absolute star. And it's the same thing A&M has. Look, Marcel Reed, Concepcion, Craver, all these guys, they look fantastic. But I think the difference is Florida is going to be better up front on both sides of the ball. Give me Florida in an upset, 24-21.
I think a lot of people are going to be hot on Florida because of the way they played last week. But I'm a firm believer in I'm going to take the full body of work and not just isolate one game because it can change so much. I mean, again, if you played, coached, or followed it, you understand that. I do think that A&M is going to struggle to score because I just think this Florida defensive line, especially now that the pass rush is starting to come along a little bit, creates a lot of problems. But I think this A&M team is different. They are finding ways to win games that in the past they would find ways to lose. You go on the road and you beat Notre Dame in a high-scoring game, 41-40? You throw a touchdown basically in the last second to win it. You play Auburn, you beat them, you know, in a low-scoring game. Texas A&M is just finding ways to win games. And I think in the second half, they're really going to come on. I think it's Marcel Reed's legs that keeps some plays alive. I think A&M's more dangerous in the scramble drill than they are just lining up and running their normal stuff. I like A&M to win this one in another low-scoring game. Give me 20-14 A&M. And
wow.
I think it's 14-14 going into the fourth. A&M kicks two field goals. Lagway throws a pick.
Well,
and that's it.
That Florida offense has obviously been disappointing for most of the year, and the week they decide to figure it out is against that Texas defense.
Yeah.
Like, truly incredible what they were able to do. I will say what's even more surprising is to watch that you got guys like DJ Lagway, true sophomore, Vernell Brown III, true freshman, Dallas Wilson, true freshman, Texas A&M, has those guys too.
Yeah.
And I agree with the full body of work argument, though. I picked against Texas A&M in the Mississippi State game. I'm not going to do that this week. Give me the Aggies at home.
All right, last one, Will. The Red River Shootout, not rivalry. I hate when people say that. Nobody's decided I'm not going to go and shoot something because you changed the name of the rivalry. It's like the in racism thing in the end zone. Like, I just don't understand. Anyway, I do understand it. That's the problem. All right, John Mateer, let's say he's going to play because that's the way it's looking right now. Who do you like? I could guess who you'd like. Blaine, quickly, the spread on this one.
Right now, this game opened at -2.5 for the Texas Longhorns. Right now, it's sitting at -1.5 for the Texas Longhorns. Money line's an even pick 'em with the over-under at 42.5.
Will, what say you?
All right, you think I'm going to pick with my heart, but that's not who I am. I am going to pick with my mind. Mm-hmm. And there is literally no reason to pick Texas over Oklahoma. There's literally no reason other than hope. And that hope is that all of a sudden Arch Manning is going to turn the corner. And this is where, like, David's expertise and what he had to say a moment ago comes in. The fundamentals are what are what's all bad, and it is the problem. That he doesn't set his feet, that he's having trouble reading. He's getting a little better reading to the open receiver. David, I don't know why he throws the ball so hard. Why must you hum it into your receiver as hard as you possibly can? How about a little finesse, a little bit of touch? But because of that, you retain this little bit of hope. It's going to click. There's going to be some game where all of a sudden it clicks, and he's going to need time from his offensive line to do so. But when he does, when he plants his feet, he can deliver a throw. Will that happen against Oklahoma? That's just a complete crapshoot bet. There's no reason for me to believe it'll click this weekend. Talk about a tough environment. That's a really tough environment. Yeah. I mean, crazy pressure, half burnt orange, half crimson and cream. I'm taking Oklahoma. That's my head.
Wow.
I'll be surprised and happy if it clicks finally for Arch, but I have no reason to think it's going to happen in Dallas.
No, it makes sense. Ooh. Blaine, all right, let's go. What do you got?
So we're saying John Mateer's playing.
I've been told by...
you have, according to your sources.
According to my sources.
It was the tortilla presser.
You have John Mateer playing.
Okay. I got John Mateer playing.
If we're having John Mateer playing, I'm picking Oklahoma in this football game.
Okay.
Because look, I mean, one, if there's anything you can lean on, I'm going to lean on John Mateer being the player that he is. Look, neither of these teams have been able to run the ball at all this year. All right? But there are things I can trust. Is that defense for Oklahoma is legitimate on all three levels. And Brent Venables, you think it was tough playing against Florida in the swamp.
Yeah.
But Brent Venables is about to do to your eyes, just moving guys, showing guys, bailing guys, bringing guys.
Basically a magic show.
Oh, my. It's basically a welcome to the circus, but it's a circus you take serious, right?
Yeah.
I'm taking Oklahoma in this game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think both these defenses are going to show up. Give me Oklahoma 2017.
All right, David, what do you think?
Close to what I have there. We came into the season thinking Texas might have the number one defense in the country, but by every available metric, Oklahoma is leading the statistical categories as the number one defense in the country. I'm going to take the Sooners right now, 23-20.
I think Texas has looked a lot like Auburn, to be honest with you. Pretty damn good on defense. Offense is struggling, but in a different way. I would still take Texas's offense, actually, over Auburn's right now, which is sad to say. All the points you guys brought up, Oklahoma's defense is an absolute nightmare. And again, they don't have to line up and trick you, to be honest with you. They could line up and base stuff and win. Mateer, you don't play a quarterback with a broken thumb. If he plays, that means he can throw it. You can't. It's not like it's a hamstring or he sprained his ear or something. You don't let a quarterback play if his hand doesn't work, especially when it's his throwing hand. I think this game is super low scoring. Super low scoring. Give me Oklahoma 17-10.
Wow.
17-10. I think it's 17-3 in the fourth quarter, and Texas finds a way to score a touchdown, but they're not able to do it again. So we're all taking Oklahoma here.
Well, we just gave Texas a chance.
All right, we're doing it. There's your chance. But Will, man, again, thanks so much for joining us. I know you're everywhere, but tell everybody where they can find you if for some reason they just landed here.
They can catch me at Will Cain Country at Live at noon Eastern time every day at YouTube. And then the Will Cain Show on the Fox News Channel at 4 Eastern. And I guess I'll be on the USC Trojans big this weekend to make sure that I beat you guys. That's my different
game. Look,
I love it. I love it. But Will, thanks so much for joining us, man. Thank you, everybody out there, for joining us. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check out all the content, all the previews. We're going to have instant reactions on Saturday.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have a recap on Sunday and get this thing kicked off for Week 8. And like the chances of me not being excited about watching Missouri State tonight. I don't care. It's football. That's all I ask for. We're going. Gone.